This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, August 19th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr., and joining me is the force that is Gary Whitta.
Well, hello, Blessing. You and I were just saying before the show that it's been a minute since you and I hosted the show together.
It's been a while. How you been?
I've been good. I'm glad to be back together with you, though. I missed hosting with you. This is our first virtual KFGD, I believe, that we've done together.
We've done one or two, like in the early days. Yeah, like a long. Honestly, this whole quarantine has felt like it's been.
Yeah, like
forever.
This whole thing is like, I don't know. I mean, honestly, can't tell you what day it is. And like,
dude,
and this
you.
Whole day is like branded as like my day. Then I still don't know what day it is. Winter something. I don't know.
Now, Gary, I've been on Twitter. I've been seeing the tweets. I've been seeing
That was your first mistake, Blessing.
And I mean, being on any sort of social media is a mistake, let me tell you. But I've been seeing some of the good tweets. I've been seeing some of the announcements about Animal Talking and Talk Guys, which I believe is the new thing happening.
Yeah, if you follow me, it's all good stuff. You should basically just follow me and unfollow everyone else, and you'll only get premium content.
Of course. Tell me about Talk Guys. What is that?
Talk Guys is a new show that we're launching very, very soon. Animal Talking, as you know, has been a lot of fun. But it's also a lot of work to put that show together every week. And it's gotten to a point where I just don't have the time to continue doing the show on a regular weekly basis until I figure out a better way to do it. So Animal Talking is going to go on hiatus for a little bit. We're going to do like some big seasonal specials. We have a Halloween spooktacular coming up, Thanksgiving family dinner, and a Christmas special.
Oh, wow.
We're going to do three big holiday specials for Animal Talking. And we may do some additional episodes as and when we feel like it. But what's going to mainly plug the gap on a regular basis is this new show, Talk Guys. As you know, Fall Guys is the thing that all the kids, all the young people are into right now. Where everyone's playing it. Everyone's talking about Fall Guys. Fall Guys is the thing.
Of course. How many crowns you got?
I have 5 crowns.
Wow.
Very proud of you, Gary. Very proud.
I'm very proud. And the most recent one, let me tell you something. The most recent one, I beat a motherfucking speed hacker to get it. So I'm
really?
Very nice. Proud of that one.
That's awesome.
I'm this close to quitting my regular job and becoming a Fall Guys esports pro because I feel like this. I feel like I finally found my calling.
Do you know who I need to connect you with? Is Yousef Magid. So I've
seen some
Fall
of
Guys.
His clips,
dude. I've been playing Fall Guys since it's come out, and I'm somehow still sitting at only one win. I am terrible at Fall Guys, which I was not expecting because I view myself as somebody who's good at 3D platformers. So I was thinking
Apparently, people who actually beat Donkey Kong 64 are actually people who are good at 3D platformers.
I played the whole game. I just haven't beat the final boss because to get
and,
the final boss.
And so here's the thing, Les. Here's the thing. If you haven't beaten the final boss, does that mean you've beaten the game? I didn't think so.
Anyway.
He does make a good point, Blessing.
Well, earlier this week, I was playing with Yousef Magid on Fall Guys. And let me tell you,
changes the subject back. It's so good.
Let me tell you, Yousef Magid somehow is a god at Fall Guys. I've never seen such an incredible run where, you know, there's the trophy that is get 5 wins in a row. That is an impossible trophy. I think like 0.01% of players
people are getting it, though.
Yeah. I mean, a few people are getting it, right? And like that's bound to happen. A broken clock can be right twice a day.
Yes. Yeah, statistically, Yousef Magid, some people are going to get it.
I watched Yousef Magid win 4 games in a row and then lose the 5th game, but then like win the 6th game. Like I watched Yousef Magid in our party just destroy folks in Fall Guys. And so if you're looking for a squad,
not
like,
necessarily
Yousef Magid on your team.
Not necessarily in a row, but Dr. Lupo apparently got 20 wins yesterday.
Jeez.
20 dubs. So here's the thing that I love about Fall Guys. It clearly is a game that you can get better at. Like I'm way better at it now than I was when I first started playing. Like you learn the rhythms and the tricks
Tim
to each
the
level.
Man.
Unless you're poor old Tim the Tap Man who just cannot get a win. Feel bad for the guy. If he ever wants to squad up with me, 5 Crown Gary, I'll happily drag him across the finish line and get him one. It's a game that where skill obviously is a factor, but no matter how good you get at it, the random luck factor will always be there. And I think that's that's the combination that makes it so delightful, both to play and to watch. And so the idea with Talk, guys, is, like I said, Animal Talk is going to take a little bit of a break while we kind of regroup and try to figure out a way to keep making it that's more sustainable for me in terms of, you know, kind of time and bandwidth and stuff. But Talk, guys, is going to be a show that's going to plug the gap, and it's going to be much easier to do. Me and my good friend, Kate Stark, who works behind the scenes with me on Animal Talking, are going to co-host it, and we're going to have guests, a guest or two guests on every week. You know, it's a four-player squad is the limit. And we're basically just going to try to conduct an interview while also playing the game. So some people have described it as like the Hot Ones of video games. You know, like try to do an interview, but while also at the same time, you know, putting yourself through this agonizing ordeal. And it's a game that makes you kind of flip out and swear and rage quit a lot. So if we can try to sustain an interview, Kate and I can like actually interview a subject while we're all playing the game together.
That's awesome.
I think it's just going to be chaotic and fun, and it's not going to require the same level of preparation or production value that Animal Talking does. It's just going to be like a fun kind of thing that we can do on the side while Animal Talking is taking a rest. And I think our first episode is going to be up as early as next week. So we're looking, and we've already got some great guests lined up. So
and of course, people can find that on twitch.tv/GaryWitta.
It'll be on twitch.tv/GaryWitta, and it'll also be on twitch.tv/Kate. Which is Kate Stark's channel, because we're both doing it together, and we're going to announce our first guest, I think, later today for our first show next week, and it's very exciting.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that, Gary. I'm going to be in the chat for that one. I can't wait to watch. And also, I'm going to say this, right? Animal Talking is a show that it would have been my dream to be on Animal Talking. I know that dream isn't over yet. I know
it's not over. The show's not going anywhere. A lot of people think like Animal Talking's like canceled. It's not. It's just taking a break. Yeah. While we regroup a little bit. Talk, guys, is going to plug the gap. We've got holiday specials coming up, and we have big plans for next year as well. So, Blessing, we're going to get you on that Animal Talking couch.
Oh, please do.
And in the meantime, if you want to go to the Animal Talking set, while the set is dark and we're not using it, I've actually opened up my dream island today. So you can actually go in a dream right now, go and visit the Animal Talking set, sit in the host chair, sit on the couch. Your dreams literally can come true. Go to my Twitter, at Gary Witta, my dream. I just posted the dream code there earlier today. Go visit the set, post pics, have fun.
That's awesome. Well, Gary, enough about Animal Talking and Talk, guys. Let's talk about details on Halo's troubled development, a look at Xbox's new dashboard, and Oculus causing a rift, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/Kind of Funny Games. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Housekeeping, DC Fandom is happening this Saturday. We're treating it like Greg Miller's personal E3. That means Greg and the Kind of Funny crew will be on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames all day long, reacting to panels for Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, WB Montreal's game, The Snyder Cut, and every other DC movie. It all starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time, so don't miss out. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by DoorDash, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have six stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. Gary Wood, I'm happy to have you here as one of the hosts of Kind of Funny's X-Cast, because our first couple of stories are Xbox-focused. Starting with our number one, Halo Infinite's development has reportedly been hindered by outsourcing. This is Jordan Allman at IGN, who writes, "A report has surfaced suggesting Halo Infinite's development and recent delay have been affected by outsourcing, with the upcoming Halo TV show also apparently a significant distraction. An investigative report into the turbulent development cycle of Halo Infinite from Theorot alleges that a number of factors have contributed to the game's troubled development and eventual delay from Xbox Series X console launch into 2021. One major factor in Infinite's delay supposedly stems from the fact that a significant portion of the game is being outsourced to third-party contractors. This is a standard practice in the games industry, especially in AAA, but in Infinite's case, the report suggests that the level of outsourcing has been unusually high, and the coordination between the many different companies contributing to Infinite has been rough at best. Thrott's source claims that the outsourcing was at a higher ratio than a typical studio undertakes during development, which has led to communication and collaboration headaches for 343 Industries. Apparently, the E3 2019 trailer for Halo Infinite was outsourced while the game was not in a playable state, which oversold expectations for Infinite's later demos. The report suggests that the marketing and engineering teams behind Halo Infinite have been on two different planets, which has also led to issues in messaging the game. The Thrott report also dwells on the departure of high-profile creatives such as Tim Longo and Mary Olson as a reason for the turmoil. Both were creative directors who left 343 Industries in 2019. The recent rumor that the game was going to ship with multiplayer and campaign as separate entities is also corroborated, with the report suggesting that this came under consideration as a means to meet the holiday 2020 deadline. As well as the issues with outsourcing, one source told Thrott that the long-gestating Halo TV series has been a significant distraction for 343 management. According to the unnamed source, the show has been, quote, taking their priority instead of focusing on making sure development progress is on the right path to reaching its targeted deadline, end quote. Gary Whitta, one of the hosts of Kinda Funny's X-Cast, how do you react to all this?
Well, certainly the news about the game possibly being split into separate multiplayer and single player components to be shipped separately so they could get something out the door, you know, earlier. We already knew that because Phil Spencer literally told me that live on Animal Talking last week. Like, we got that straight from the horse's mouth, that they considered breaking it into different components. And that's been covered quite widely as well. So that's not really news. The idea that, you know, whether or not outsourced, again, who knows? At the end of the day, a Jason Schreier or someone in that world, like a real news hound, is one day going to get to the bottom of this and post like the big 10,000 word, you know, expose. We spoke to 30 people behind the scenes, you know, blah, 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 that sort of thing. We'll get that story eventually. And, you know, and I'm sure it'll be fascinating. Outsourcing, of course, nothing new in video games either. You know, you only need to play through the credits of any game. These days, the end credits, and you'll see like not just the names of all the devs that worked on the main team, but all the different kind of third party outsourced studios that are necessary to make a game of that size. You know, outsourcing and contract work is not particularly uncommon games at this size and this level and this scale. But it does sound like they're. This in terms of, did they allocate?
Hold on, everybody. Hold on.
Looks like Barry disconnected.
Discord like crashed and then restarted. So,
Are we streaming?
You guys. Yeah, we're still streaming. We're putting you guys back up. There we go. It's all good. Okay. We're okay.
Right. Back.
Are we just going to go like, we just keep going?
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah, I guess we just keep going.
Fuck it. So, we'll do it live.
I don't even know where I was. It does sound like maybe at like the senior management level, they didn't do it right. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all we know is the game's not coming out on time, right? So something went wrong. And you know, COVID, I think, is definitely a part of it. How can it not be? It has impacted everything. You cannot ask all of your devs to work from home and expect that to not have some kind of impact on your workflow and your timeline. Of course, it's going to set you back. So I think we all sympathize with the notion that that's at least part of it. Yeah. But again, we talked about this again with Phil when he was on my show the other week. Even the official statement acknowledged that was only part of the reason why the game is getting pushed. And I think they talked about not wanting to crunch their team. That's admirable also, but it does also sound like there was maybe some mismanagement. Like the Halo TV show is obviously, it seems like it's sucking up a lot of bandwidth. They lost some of their senior staff, as you mentioned. It sounds like there were just many, many factors that taken all together, ended up with this catastrophic situation of the Series X is going to launch without its flagship title this year. We talked about that on the X-Cast.
This is very much like I wish I could be a fly on the wall in the studio situation where, like, I remember when the Hideo Kojima stuff was going down with Konami, right, during the release of Metal Gear Solid 5. And so many of us were just like, what is happening? Like, what if I could just be in the room, right? If I could just be like an invisible source in the room and just take everything in and understand how these different puzzle pieces are causing for these rifts to happen, that would be such a, like, such a treat. Like,
it's,
Halo,
it's probably not that interesting or glamorous though, Blessing. It's probably just a banal, like, you know, we have the resources, we're overstretched, this is not, we're not going to hit this on time. Like, it's probably, well, definitely like, not
as
boring.
Definitely not as glamorous as the Hideo Kojima stuff. But in the case of Halo, it just seems like everything in the world is working against this game, right? Like, we mentioned COVID as a big factor, and of course that is going to have an impact on the game with everybody working from home. But then you also look at, like, yeah, the demo they showed at the Xbox presentation for next gen, right? Or not next gen, but the Xbox presentation, you know, that didn't necessarily blow everybody away. You look at what they're messaging in this new story now, right? Like, the idea of, hey, what if we chop this thing up into pieces and release it that way? Oh man, we're losing our high profile creatives, right? Tim Longo and Mary Olson are gone. Oh man, there's a TV show that the studio is also focused on for some reason. Like, it seems like this is one of those cases of, man, I wonder at a certain point, what was the straw that broke the camel's back for 343, where they're just like, fuck it, we can't do this at launch, like, we got to move it? Because I imagine at some point that had to happen with a game so important like Halo Infinite was to the Xbox's launch. Like, at a certain point, it takes an act of God for that game to get delayed the way it got delayed. And it seems like that is what happened with all these different elements.
Yeah, because again, like, it's a huge, huge loss for Microsoft. Like, there's no way to spin this as in any way good. It's terrible, and Microsoft are gutted about it. There's no question. So they obviously would have done it's a multi-billion-dollar company. They would have done everything in their power to get this game out for the holidays. They couldn't do it. COVID, losing creatives, being overstretched, outsourcing, like, there's no one thing, right? It's a whole combination of things. Yeah. We did talk about
this
a lot.
It's like 10 different things here.
Whether or not the very lukewarm reaction to the footage they showed played a part, who knows? We took a deeper dive with that on the Xcast last week with Mike and Alana. And like, again, well, someday down the road, maybe we'll know the truth. But it sounds like just a confluence of a ton of factors all at once, kind of a perfect storm. Some things avoidable, some things unavoidable, like COVID. Some things perhaps avoidable. Who knows?
Yeah.
In time, maybe we'll know. All we know is right now, it's a huge bummer the game's not coming out.
Do you think there is a chance that this game comes out and it is not good? Like, do you think this game can come out and disappoint at this point? Because up until now, I've been of the mind that this game is too big to fail. This game is too important to come out and fail, especially for what it means to Xbox, for what it means to Halo as a franchise, to what it means to the Series X's launch, right? With all those things considered, and with like the debut trailer we got and how it looked like they were trying to return to form and do all the things right. With all those things considered, leading up to this launch, I've been like, there's no way this game can come out and like not live up to expectations. Now, like, looking around and seeing all these different factors, I'm like, oh man, is there a chance this game comes out and it doesn't do well? And if that's the case, what does that mean for Halo?
I guess anything's possible. I mean, Halo is a series that has had its ups and downs over the years, right? Halo 2, I remember a lot of people had their problems with it. Halo 5, a lot of people had issues with it. It's a series that's had its ups and downs over the years. I think mostly very good. You know, it's earned its place as a tier one franchise, but it's definitely had its speed bumps. This definitely is one that Microsoft cannot really afford to have a speed bump. Like, again, this is you know, the new generation. You know, it just seems like this needs to be the biggest and best Halo game ever, and it needs to be a system seller for Series X. Mm-hmm. I don't think they can afford for it not to be. So they will do everything in their power to make this the best possible Halo game ever. Having said that, they did everything in their power to get it out for the holidays. They couldn't do it. Now, however, at least they do have time. They can say, well, look, we don't have to hit this holiday deadline. Now does it matter if it comes out in March, April, or August, or September? You know, they're still going to want to get it out as soon as possible, but they can now at least sit back and take their time and focus on getting the game as good as it can be by the time it launches. Is it possible that it comes out and it's not that great? I guess anything's possible, but I think it's unlikely, because I really think now that they do have the additional time and knowing how important it is, If I was a betting man, I would say, yeah, it's going to be good.
To keep on the Xbox train, story number two, and this is a visual one, and so, Barrett, I'm going to need your help with this one. Microsoft has revealed the Xbox Series X dashboard. I'm pulling from Tom Ivan at VGC. Barrett, the link that I've shared with you is a YouTube video from the Xbox account where they show off some of how the dashboard looks. Tom Ivan, though, writes, "The company said in an accompanying blog post that the new Xbox experience will be available not just for the next-gen console, but also for Xbox One, Xbox Game Pass on PC, and all Xbox mobile apps. Quote, the new Xbox look and feel is designed to be faster to use, more approachable, and visually appealing, according to the platform holder. The home screen will load more than 50% faster when you boot your Xbox, and is almost 30% faster to load when you're returning from a game. Furthermore, these improvements use 40% less memory than what was previously required. Text is more readable, elements on screen are easier to understand at a glance, and accomplishing your task is faster than ever," end quote. They added, "This includes tile shape, fonts, and an updated illustration style, and more. The overall layout of most of the console pages remains familiar, just faster, and more focused," end quote. Microsoft also said that a new Xbox mobile app, which is currently in development, will be better integrated into Xbox social experiences. Updates and clips players want to share from their console will automatically be sent to the mobile app, which can also be used to send messages and launch parties. And Microsoft said it has consolidated notifications to reflect activity across all platforms. Gary, again, one of the hosts of Kinda Funny XCast, how does the idea of a new Xbox dashboard strike you? And do you like all the things you're hearing about it?
And I know it sounds quite silly, but I'm actually quite excited to see and use the new dashboard. I am, as you know, I'm platform agnostic. I have all the systems. Mm-hmm. I love them all. I play games across all of them. I'm not like a platform warrior. I don't have any time for that kind of tribalism. Having said that, my preference is generally towards the Xbox. I like the controller better. I just like the ecosystem better. I've been, I've had every Xbox since the original one. I just like it over there. Maybe I just like the color green. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do think that the current iteration of the Xbox dashboard is a bit of a mess. I think it has a lot of personality. I like that it feels warm and inviting, and there's always something to look at or click on or do. But it's not terribly well designed. It's easy. I still get confused and lost. Like, wait, where are my games? Where's X Pass? How do I redeem a code? Like, it's easy to get lost on that. It needs a lot of streamlining. I think that the PlayStation crossbar is a bit cold and a bit, it doesn't have a lot of personality, but it is at least simple and easy to navigate. The Xbox dashboard just kind of feels like they just threw a bunch of shit at the screen without like much of a, I'm sure they did put a lot of thought into it, but I think they largely failed in terms of making it accessible and easy to understand. It just looks like a bunch of squares. And I don't know how much they're going to change it. It definitely can and should be snappier with the next generation. It's the Xbox UI is not always the most responsive. I'm confident with the Series X that'll be improved. But they just need, I just think they need a better design approach. Their UX has never been brilliant. Like the old 360 blades were better than this. I think they got a bit carried away with trying to standardize kind of the Microsoft design language. The tiles like Windows 10, Windows Phone, Xbox, all having that same very, it's just a bunch of squares. That to me kind of feels like a bit of a holdover from a bunch of stuff that Microsoft have since abandoned. Windows Phone's not a thing anymore. Maybe it's time to just let, the Xbox UI be its own thing and have its own specific. I don't know how radical it's going to look compared to the current one. But it definitely needs some work because it is a bit clunky and not terribly easy or instinctive to navigate.
Yeah, I'm with that too. I like the idea that with them giving up the idea of hard generation cuts, like with them leaning back away from that idea, that's not stopping them from making these big improvements in their UI. And I'm with you that I think there are plenty of improvements they can make. I think on both the Xbox and PlayStation side, like I'm not huge into either of their main menu UIs. Like on the Xbox side, I just feel like I feel like they can make it make more sense. Like I don't like having to go to my games and apps if I want to scroll through my games. And even Barrett was showing some of the images that they had. I like the idea that it seems that they're putting games more front and center. the idea that it's going to be, what, 50% more faster in certain places. And overall, it seems like they're going for a faster, snappier feel. I really appreciate on the PlayStation side of things. You know, my main issue is that it's not as snappy as I want it to be. Like, a lot of the times things chug when I'm just, like, switching through different menu items. On both of those sides, I think there's improvements to be made. Weirdly enough, the UI I appreciate the most when it comes to console UI is the Nintendo Switch. And I know a big part of that is because, like, they're not doing as much, right? Like, you don't have parties. You don't have, you know, the same amount of options.
You don't have a bunch of multimedia apps and other stuff. Yeah. So, hey, here's your games. And
exactly.
That's what they've always done well. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, but, like, it works so well for them in terms of making that UI feel, one, clean, two, understandable, three, quick. And if Microsoft is making their way towards that with the new Xbox dashboard, I'm all about that. I think that's going to be awesome.
There's really no excuse. PlayStation doesn't. Yeah. And again, I'm more of an Xbox guy, but PlayStation doesn't do this. It never freezes up. It never slows down. When I use the Xbox One UI,
It slows down a bit. Menus, it slows down a lot.
Well, let me tell you what. Because I use the Xbox One more. Let me tell you what bothers me on that one. I'm sure you've experienced this as well. It's like you'll be trying to move around, but it seems like it's frozen up, and then like then all your commands will come through at once. You know, and you'll like navigate through 10 tiles because you kept pushing the down button or whatever. There's never, especially going forward the next generation, there's never an excuse for your overlay UI to be sluggish, or it should never chug. It should always be super, super fast and responsive and snappy. And again, with this next generation of technology, it bloody better be. I hope so.
Yeah. I also think it's one of those situations where the console you use more, the more you're going to notice how slow and sluggish and how nonsensical it is. And so for me, like, as a PlayStation user, after what, 7 years of being on PS4, I've gotten to the point where I'm like, oh man, I know every single one of the issues in that UI, right? Like whenever you go into your library and try to click a new game and like you see the PlayStation symbols and it's loading and it's like, why is this taking so long to load? Just
whenever,
to open up a new game.
Whenever you get into privacy settings and then like the entire UI just like slows down.
Whenever you want to hide a game, and I know this isn't a thing that both of you are going to do, but for us, when we review games, there's an option in the privacy settings to go and hide certain games from your library. And there is no rhyme or reason to how that thing is put together.
It's so bad. And when you scroll through it, like, you'll go through a page, and then when you technically get to like more loading, it takes like way too long to load in. It gets all clunky and weird and slow down. Yeah, the PS4 UI is just, after seven years, is tiring.
This next generation is going to have power to spare. And a lot of the conversation that we've seen from both Xbox and PlayStation side is quality of life improvements, right? Faster load times, having multiple games in suspend states so you can just like jump back and forth between them. Just USB-C. I know I've hopped on about it, but just charging a controllers with a connector that doesn't make you want to fucking hang yourself with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff is all of that's welcome. And a faster, snappier, more responsive, easier to navigate, better designed UI should be on that list.
Story number three. Oculus VR will start requiring Facebook accounts, and users aren't happy. This is from Matt Kim at IGN. And before I even get into it, Gary, have you been keeping up with this at all? Have you seen this?
I saw it yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, this is an upsetting one. Oculus announced that starting in October 2020, first-time users on an Oculus VR headset will need to log in using a Facebook account. And that support for independent Oculus accounts will end after January 1st, 2023. This announcement has shown to be an unpopular move for users who wish to keep their Oculus accounts separate from Facebook, or for those who don't have Facebook accounts to begin with and don't wish to have one. In a new blog post, Oculus announced the change coming to the Oculus account. All right, let me read that again. In a new blog post, Oculus announced the change coming to the Oculus account. First-time users for Oculus headsets, like the Quest, will need a Facebook account to log into the ecosystem, and existing users will need to merge their Oculus and Facebook accounts. Oculus users who don't merge accounts can use their Oculus accounts for 2 years, but support will end in 2023. After this, they'll still be able to use the device, quote, but full functionality will require a Facebook account, end quote. Facebook says this is a way to streamline the account systems for Oculus, which was bought by the social media company in 2014 for approximately $2 billion. Facebook also says that merging the accounts will allow for, quote, more Facebook-powered multiplayer and social experiences coming soon in VR, like Horizon, where you can explore, play, and create worlds, end quote. Gary, are you excited to merge your Facebook account with your Oculus account so you can play VR?
No, of course not. You know how I feel about Facebook. They can all go fuck themselves over there. And this is a very depressing move. It's a shame because I love VR and I'm very excited about the future of VR. And Oculus obviously is a major, major player in that space, you know, arguably the biggest player of all. And, you know, it's disappointing. That's sad because I like Oculus, but I hate Facebook. And those two have been, you know, obviously all part of one company since 2014, as you rightly say. And this is just another move to kind of force people into their bullshit ecosystem. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I have a Valve Index here. Maybe I'm just going to lean into that. I have a Quest here. I like the hardware. It's really fun. My kid likes playing VR.
Chat are saying, too, that the head of Oculus said that they would never integrate with Facebook like this.
Was that Palmer Luckey that said that?
Yes.
I mean, these people say a lot of things, don't they?
True. Yeah. And it just sucks to be like, all right, well, you know, my Oculus Quest is only going to be fully functional for 2 years, and then it'll just be partially functional because there's no way I'm fucking linking those two. The only reason I still have a Facebook account is for the Kind of Funny Facebook account, and that's like the only reason I account a thing.
I had a Facebook fan page for a long time where I would like promote my shit. I shut that down. It's no longer active. I did that ages ago. I still have a personal page, but I restricted it to like I don't post on it anymore. The only reason I haven't deactivated it is because Facebook has its claws into so many things. Some of my logins to other services are through Facebook, and every now and again you just have to use it because it's such a fucking vampire squid with its tentacles like into everything. There's certain things that I still need it for, but I basically keep it like it's on Facebook's on life support with me. Basically, I only use it for the bare minimum of functionality that I need to. And as soon as I can detach some of those accounts and create other logins for them, I'm going to deactivate my Facebook account immediately. Fuck Facebook. Fuck Mark Zuckerberg. It is a shitty, awful company that makes the world actively a far worse place every fucking day. And you should delete your account.
I love Oculus, but yeah, I'm with you that I hate this. Like I hate this integration. I'm with you guys that I don't use my Facebook at all. Like I've stopped accepting new friend requests on Facebook. Like I've gotten to that point where I'm like, I would delete the app or delete the service if like my family didn't use the service, basically. Like that's the main thing that's keeping me keep my Facebook account. But yeah, this is a bummer. It's a bummer one because they said they weren't going to do this, right? Because that's where the assumption went, right? When Facebook bought Oculus, oh no, they're gonna integrate everything and make Oculus essentially like a Facebook machine. And fast forward to 2020, 2023, when they finally shut down the Oculus accounts, right? Like that's going to be the case, and it's unfortunate. I'm still going to use my Oculus headset probably by then, you know, if there are still games coming out, but. Yeah, again, it's a bummer. And I feel like this kind of explains too why I felt like the Oculus accounts in the first place weren't too functional. Like there wasn't much going on there in terms of the different features and how well they function. Like the Oculus accounts seemed very basic in functionality. Which was fine cuz it got the job done, but I feel like this kind of points back to this, right? Of hey, why do anything with it if it's not going to be around soon? And so bummer all around.
Yeah, and I think it's a miscalculation. I think they assume that a lot of people go, oh, well, if I want Oculus, better get on Facebook, better link my account. Whereas I think they're underestimating the number of people are saying, well, fuck Oculus then. I'm just not going to use it. Like they're going to lose customers over this. So they may not care. Facebook ultimately doesn't care. It's such a big company that, you know, a handful of people like me going, fuck Facebook. You know, it doesn't make a dent. But, you know, you got to stand up for something. And I'm going to stand up against a platform that actively allows hate speech to flourish and, you know, radicalize people on a daily basis. It's garbage. It's shit garbage that is fucking up the world. And I want no part of it. Fuck off, Facebook. Delete your account.
Story number four, FIFA 21 won't feature crossplay, even across console generations. This is from Jordan Alleman at IGN. EA Sports has confirmed that FIFA 21 will not feature online crossplay, even across console generations in the same platform family. The FIFA Direct Communication Twitter account announced the news in response to a question from the FIFA Ultimate Team Weekly podcast about whether those who own the game on PS4 could play FIFA 21 online with friends on PS5. FIFA tweeted this morning, quote, "We won't be able to play cross-generation or cross-play in FIFA 21. However, you will be able to carry over your FIFA Ultimate Team progression from PS4 to PS5 and from Xbox One to Xbox Series X," end quote. With that, I'm going to pull in a question from Derek, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, "I know you guys don't talk a lot about sports games on KFGD, but FIFA 21 announced today that while you'll get a free upgrade from PS4 to PS5 and from Xbox One to Xbox Series X, that no cross-platform or cross-generational play will be supported. I don't typically play a lot of online games, but FIFA is the one I've played consistently with my friends for the last few months, and we were looking forward to playing FIFA 21 together. However, I'm planning to upgrade to PS5, and he was going to wait a while before looking at next-gen hardware. I don't know if I have a question per se, but is this something we see as being commonplace moving forward? This is taking a player base that's already split into two and splitting it into four." Gary, one, how do you react to the idea that there's not going to be cross-generational play and cross-platform play for FIFA 21? And two, what do you think we're at in terms of the overall conversation in cross-play and cross-generational play and games in general, not even just FIFA?
I mean, we're going to be in this space for a while as one generation transitions into it to another, probably not for the next 6 months or so. This is going to be in the conversation every time a big game comes out. No cross-platform play, as you know, is hugely disappointing to me anytime I hear about it. I don't know why it's so hard. Someone needs to explain it to me. If Warzone and Fortnite and other games can do it, I don't know why the other big boys can't do it. It drives me crazy. There's got to be some reason. Maybe it's really expensive. Maybe they just don't want the hassle. I don't know. But like, it would be it's just something that everybody would benefit from. So why not do it? No one's given me a satisfactory answer to that. On the cross-generation thing, yeah, anti-consumer again, no surprise coming from EA. They want to get as much money from you as possible. I do think it'll hurt them on sales of the current generation. If I were in the market for FIFA, and honestly don't know if I am, why would I get the Xbox One or the PS4 version now if I know there's going to be a superior version just down the road that they want me to buy again? I'll just wait.
Yeah.
And then I may not get it at all. Of course, the one part of the functionality that they are going to support is Ultimate Team, because that's where FIFA makes all its money. That's the cash cow, the microtransactions. And when I say I don't even know if I'm going to go into FIFA again this year, I think I have FIFA 20. I got the last one. I don't know if I'm going to do it again though, because again, I don't feel like I'm trying to stand on a wall about everything here, but we've just had a couple of topics that like really irritate me. The Facebook thing being one of them, and now FIFA, which you know is rightly pilloried as being one of the most pernicious players in the microtransaction space. What they do with the Ultimate Team stuff is gross. And I don't support it at all. And it's driven entirely by greed. They just want as much money out of you as possible. So of course, Ultimate Team, they're going to back. They're never going to inhibit your ability to play Ultimate Team. Oh God, can't have that. So I don't even know if I'm going to support FIFA or be a part of it going forward. I played a couple of games in the most recent mode with my daughter. It was all right. The lack of crossplay is disappointing. I don't quite understand the reason. The lack of cross-platform support, like, oh yeah, we'll upgrade you from one version to the next, is, hey, we're on the verge of the next generation. We want to make sure you can buy it now and still enjoy it going forward. That's disappointing, but not terribly surprising coming from EA or any of these big companies that, you know, if they can, anytime they can double dip, they're going to do it.
Well, that's where this becomes very confusing to me, because they mentioned that, yeah, like you'll be able to upgrade from FIFA 21 on current gen to next gen. But like if that's the case, why not have cross gen play between platforms? Like you would think that if you're going so far as to allow people to make that upgrade and, you know, dive into the PS4 version and have free access to the next, it would be beneficial to have that cross gen play to keep people in your ecosystem, because the idea of not having it, you would think would lend to the idea of, hey, we want people to buy the game twice. Like that's kind of how it's been, right, over the last few generations. If you get FIFA on current gen, cool. Like as EA, I'm like, sweet, get it again, because we're gonna sell two copies to you that way. Like that would be the business strategy. But with the free upgrade, it's like, well, in that case, what do you? Why not do it?
Like, I don't get it. You know, like if you buy, yeah. like I remember when Apple TV brought started doing 4K when it added 4K stuff to its library. Any movie that I had bought prior to that, which was now available in 4K, got instantly upgraded to the 4K version for free. They didn't make me rebuy it. Why can't it just be like that?
Yeah, and like. I don't know. This whole story is interesting. To Derek's question here of, is this something we see as being commonplace moving forward? I think we're at the place now where more and more it is becoming frowned upon to not have cross-platform play or not have cross-gen play. Cross-gen, that's the thing that's going to last for probably like a year or two as far as people talking about it. Like once you get further into next-gen, that's not really going to be a talking point until PS6 and whatever the next Xbox is.
I want that crystal ball thing.
No, dude, the thing that'll just float in your living room. I'm all about it.
I want that crystal sphere that like beams images directly into my brain.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I gotta stay alive for PS9.
But like I think as far as crossplay between Xbox and PlayStation and PC and Switch, that's gonna be a thing where the walls continue to break down. Like we're already at a place where like the reason why this article is being written is because we're at a place where it's not weird to point it out. Like, it's not weird to be like, hey, why isn't there crossplay? Like, why aren't you doing this as a company? Last gen, this would not have been an article. Like, this would have been, like, assumed. Because not really any game was doing crossplay.
Yeah, the tide is moving in that direction. And, yeah, it's going to become increasingly unfashionable to not offer crossplay. It's still the exception rather than the norm. Most games still don't do it. Some of the big ones do. But many of them don't. And, you know, it's to me, it's happening too slowly in a drip, drip, drip. Like every time I see a story like this, FIFA won't support it. I'm like, really? We got to wait another year for them to get on board here? It's like
every big
player that does get on board makes it harder for the other guys to say, well, we're not going to do it. You know, we need to reach kind of a tipping point where it's like, okay, now it's the norm. Why are you the exception? We're not there yet.
We're at the place, though, now, though, that Call of Duty and Fortnite both have crossplay. Like, I feel like Call of Duty should be the tipping point. Like, I feel like we're at the tipping point now. And like, we're not at the place now where most games are doing it necessarily. But I don't think there's any going back now that Call of Duty is doing it. I think we're gonna get to that place within the next couple of years.
And Call of Duty, Call of Duty and Fortnite are two of the biggest games out there, right? And they do it. And even something, here's another one blessing. So just something as simple as cross progression. Now I give the Fall Guys developers a break on this because they're a small team and they're a little team that happened to have a massive, massive hit. So right now they're playing catch up to kind of deal with, you know, how successful their game has been. I have that on PlayStation and PC and I'm playing it on different formats depending on where my friends are. But there's no I'm having to level up two different characters because there's no cross progression. Mm. I can understand how cross play can be different, but like, why can't like the little bit of data that tells you what skin my character is wearing and what level he is and what gear he has? Why can't that just be in the cloud and whatever version I'm playing, it just goes grabs that? Cross progression at least shouldn't be a big deal, but apparently it is.
Cross progression, I think, is probably the harder thing to implement because you imagine with that. Depending on the game, you need to have your own account. And so, like, for Call of Duty, and I do not know if Call of Duty has cross-progression because I've not tried to play it on any other platform. You figure that'd be an easier thing to make work because you have an Activision account. But for something like Fall Guys, which doesn't have its own system
in
that way.
You don't have a Fall Guys account. You would have to plug, maybe you could, but again, maybe you could, you know, they could create their own account or you could plug in via, you know, I don't know, whatever. Like,
For Fall Guys, that's probably a thing that wasn't in the books because like it's an indie developed game published by Devolver, all this stuff. Like on their ramp up towards launch, they probably just didn't see it as a necessary thing for the budget that they were working at. Now that the game is huge and now that they're rolling in that moolah, like I think it's a matter of time before you see them implement some of those changes, right? Like I think they have it in their bandwidth now if they wanted to like put focus on it to create some kind of Fall Guys account system to which now you can have cross progression.
Yeah, you're. I mean, I understand the issue is you need to have like a totally different third party account, or maybe that, you know, I don't know. Is there a way to link your PSN and your Steam accounts so that, you know, they talk to each other? Again, I don't know the technical side of it. The good news blessing is it's coming, right? The arc of history is long, but it bends towards progress and all of that kind of stuff. We're going to get there. Cross progression and cross play. When we're old men talking to our grandchildren one day, bless, they're going to be like, tell me a granddad about the days, you know, when, you know, Xbox and PlayStation people couldn't play together. Oh yeah, those were dark times. Yeah, and it's gonna seem silly to like the next generation of gamers who are like, really? Like you could only play over here, but then they could play over there. Like this weird, you know, era of gamers being, you know, bifurcated into these different boxes. Yeah, it's silly, and we're living through silly times right now. But we'll get there. It's just gonna take a while.
Story number five, Sega is focusing more on ports after the success of Persona 4 on Steam. And I'm not going to read through the whole article because we're getting late in the show. But to sum it up, basically an investor Q&A that released today, Sega said that repeat sales of its catalog significantly increased in March, in April this year, of course, due to the pandemic and all the different stuff going on. And even in June and July, where like things started to dip, they still sold more than last year. And so with that, they said that with the success of Persona 4 Golden on Steam, they're going to start working on more ports. And so that's very exciting for me, who wants to see Persona 4 Golden and Persona 3 and Persona 5, honestly, on Switch. And I know that, like, that is kind of a jump and a stretch given what they said in the investor meeting, but I'm gonna make that stretch.
I could see
all the Persona games on Switch.
I could see them bringing Persona 4 Golden to like PS4 and PS5, but that's like all I can see them doing.
But like the Switch, though, you know, like those are such good mobile games, or not mobile, handheld games.
Yeah,
they're perfect for handheld.
Great for on the go and laying honestly, down in your bed and stuff. It's great.
And like honestly, I've already played Persona 4 Golden, so like if you don't, then don't give me Persona 3 though. Because Persona 3, I feel like is the one where that game is stuck on PS2, and I know there's P3 portable, but like that's kind of different from Persona 3. As I understand it, kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you have more info on that, if you want to enlighten me, but come on, son, give me that game, right, Barrett?
I'm sorry, I've just been too broken by like the years. I feel like of asking for Persona 5 on Switch, and we're just never gonna get it. We're never gonna get it. It's fine.
Where's that Persona 5 Scramble, Barrett?
I have no idea. I'm assuming it's just never
going to... Wasn't that supposed to be a 2020 game, according to Barrett Courtney?
No, that was according to... No, that was according to you, that you said it was going to come, I think, in the summer. And I was like, I don't know. They're
no.
usually... Yeah, you did.
I said I didn't think the game was... No, my argument...
Find the
somebody
fucking...
go back to PS I Love You.
No, it's what
my,
Games
what
Daily.
My argument... Or, no, I said I thought this was on PS I Love You. Or maybe
Games
it was
Daily. I don't run PS I Love You, so I think it was for sure Games Daily.
You ran a few times on when we were in the studio.
There was definitely a point, because I thought you were crazy for thinking that Persona 5 Scramble was going to come earlier than I did. And I thought the earliest that Persona 5 Scramble would come would be the fall. And that was like a big if. So I'm just saying.
Kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong if y'all are able to find it by then. But I could have sworn my argument was that Persona 5 Scramble wasn't coming until 2021. Because my argument, I remember making the argument that they're not going to release Royal and Scramble in the same year in the West.
I mean, they did that in Japan, though.
But I said in the West, though.
Yeah, that's not how they do things. They launch things in Japan first, and then they launch it in the West 6 months later. That's just how
we
they
shall
always...
see.
Okay.
We right. shall see. Kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Let me know who's right here between me and Barrett. Story number six, Prince of Persia could be getting a remake. I'm pulling this from WCCF Tech, and this is honestly breaking as we were starting the show. And so I got pieces that I'm putting together here. And so y'all are going to go on a walk with me. This is Nathan Birch. For some time now, there have been whispers that some sort of Prince of Persia revival is in the works, and Ubisoft themselves have fed into the hype, bringing the Prince to For Honor for a limited time event. Granted, some of the clues that Prince of Persia is returning, like a domain name that ended up being fake, have been dead ends. Still, the rumors persist. Well, another scrap of evidence that Prince of Persia is coming back has popped up. Guatemalan retailer Max recently listed a mysterious Prince of Persia game on their website. Specifically, the listing's original URL referred to the game as, quote, Prince of Persia Remake. Now a listing from Guatemala may sound a little iffy, but the Max website looks above board, and apparently the company is the official distributor for Nintendo and a lot of other companies in the country. Definitely take this with a great grain of salt for now, but these kind of foreign retailer leaks end up being the real deal more often than you'd think. I'm also going to pull the fact that at Jason Schreier on Twitter tweeted about this, but didn't really give any sort of confirmation. All he said was video game retailers sure love leaking Ubisoft surprise announcements. And Jason Schreier, of course, is the number one games reporter in the business, aside from Andy Cortez. They share the honor of number one. But exciting stuff. It was real. Once again, take it with a huge grain of salt. The Prince of Persia could be coming back in a remake form. Gary, does that interest you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about this a little bit before we went on air. I'll be down with the Prince of Persia remake. I go all the way back to the original. I played the very first one on the Commodore Amiga. That's how I first played Prince of Persia, and I've loved it ever since. Loved Sands of Time. Loved, you know, all the stuff they've done with it since then. And it's ripe for a remake, you know. It's laid fallow for a while. I think Prince of Persia is a series that, you know, has been kind of on the back burner for a while, long enough that we could be genuinely excited about it coming back. And whether or not would this be a remake of like the OG 2D Prince of Persia? And if so, what would that look like? Mm-hmm. Or might this be a remake of Sands of Time, which for many people that they consider that kind of the original Prince of Persia, because that was the first big reboot. So who knows? I love the fact that we're getting leaks from Guatemalan retailers, like news comes from everywhere. You know,
oh, yeah.
Where it's going to come in from next. Who knows? It doesn't sound super corroborated just yet. But to answer your question, yeah, I would love Prince of Persia to come back. I'd be curious to see what they did with it.
Chelsea, usually this is part of the show where I'd give some sort of segue and talk about how, oh man, Prince of Persia is so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom Grop Shops, I'd then ask you where I go. But before I get there, I want to tell you about our sponsor, of course. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by DoorDash. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Tim, Andy, and Greg, all the Kind of Funny crew have been going nuts over the Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich. I've personally been going nuts over the Jollibee's chicken sandwich, the classic one. Go get it. It's amazing. You can get it delivered. You can get both those things delivered, both the chicken sandwiches from both those places, delivered right now with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES. Don't forget, that's code GAMES for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Gary, I'm so excited to finally go back to Jollibee and get another spicy chicken sandwich.
I'm a big Jollibee fan lunch. As well, by the way. I love Jollibee. Oh,
What's your favorite menu item?
I like their chicken. I like their burgers, actually.
They have good burgers.
I like that you can even get spaghetti there. Like, they do everything. Yes. It's great.
They do everything.
Whatever you're in the mood for, Jollibee's got you covered.
I'm excited to go back to Jollibee, but lunchtime is just so far away, Gary. If I want to know what's coming out right now, today, to Mom and Grop Shops, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. She Sees Red interactive movie for Xbox One. Even the Ocean for Xbox One. Stones of Revenant for Xbox One. Beyond Enemy Lines 2 for Xbox One. Norman's Great Illusion for Xbox One and Switch. Distropolis for PC, Pendulum for PC, Missing Time for PC and Mac, Mushroom Picker Simulator for PC, Flying Slime for PC, and patch 1.02 for Horizon Zero Dawn PC is out now. This patch aims to address various crashes and graphical issues reported by the Horizon Zero Dawn PC community. And then new dates for you, Baldur's Gate 3 is entering early access on September 30th. Now it's time for reader mail. You can write in patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get your questions read on the show, just like the nanobiologist. Nanobiologist wrote in and said, happy Widow Wednesday, Gary and Bless. There have been so many under-the-radar hits that just launched to huge success, Microsoft Flight Simulator being the newest one. being that the big Xbox game, or being that big Xbox game that's now up there with The Last of Us 2, Persona 5 Royal, and Half-Life Alyx. But why do you think that this huge launch is going unnoticed by the wide gaming population? Even if this game is a technological marvel that truly pushes the boundaries, do flight simulators just get a pass from nearly everyone? On another note, what do you hope to see for the eventual console release of this game that may push this more into either of your interests or make this game more widely regarded as one of the greats of 2020? Thanks, the Nanobiologist. Gary, have you been keeping up with the Microsoft Flight Simulator?
Yes, I've had it pre-ordered for a while. It's on Game Pass, so you just click yes, I want it. And I've had it for a while, and it dropped, I believe, yesterday or Monday. Yesterday, I think. I can't remember. It was one of the. Who knows what the days of the week? Who cares? But it's out now, and I don't think it has gone entirely unnoticed. I've seen a lot of buzz about it. Snowbike Mike was just streaming it last night. A lot of very popular, a lot of the bigger Twitch streamers have been streaming it. It's a really, really, like, just jaw-droppingly amazing thing that they've achieved with Microsoft Flight Simulator, the new one. You know, fly anywhere in the world, and they mapped the entire planet, all the major cities, rendered in incredible fidelity. I think it's a really remarkable thing. I'm looking forward to playing it. I'm considering streaming it. I don't think it has gone unnoticed. I used to edit PC Gamer back in the day, and Microsoft Flight Simulator is one of the all-time, great, venerable series in gaming. It's like a cornerstone of gaming culture. Maybe not so well known in the the console world, because it's always been essentially a PC franchise. But it's now coming to, I think it'll make a bigger splash when it comes to Xbox and becomes more accessible to people who can just pick up and play, with a controller. I think Flight Simulator is going to be a big deal going forward. I think it has made a splash, and I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, I'm of the same mind that I think Microsoft Flight Simulator, for what I've seen on social media, people are really digging it, or at least the people that are playing it. To Nanobiologist's part of their question, where he says, do flight simulators just get a pass from nearly everyone? Flight simulators aren't going to be for everyone. I think there are plenty of games out there that aren't going to be for everyone. That's just how things are, right? The fact that for me personally, right, I saw that Flight Simulator got a 10 out of 10 from IGN. I saw that it was killing it in terms of Metacritic reviews and is one of the highest rated games of the year. I saw that and I was like, wow, that's awesome. That's really exciting. Like, good for them. I'm probably not going to play the game because, like, that's just not where I find my enjoyment, right? Simulating flight. Like, that doesn't really appeal to my interest. That said, like, who knows? I might try it out.
I was going to say, Blessing, I was going to say, do you think there's a chance that were you to try it, you might be surprised by it and actually get into it?
Maybe. Like, and that's my thing. I do have, my curiosity has been piqued. I will say that. Like, I don't have any plans of jumping deep into Microsoft Flight Simulator, but if I get a moment, like, especially with it being on Game Pass, I'm down to try it out and see what it's about and tinker around a bit. But it's just not something that really, like, gets me going, right? It's not like The Last of Us, where I'm like, oh yeah, I love zombies. I love Naughty Dog as a studio. I love The Last of Us 1. The Last of Us 2 is going to be for me. Or Ghost of Tsushima, where I'm like, I like open world video games. That game's going to be for me. Or even Doom or Ori. Like, I'm naming very video gamey games that are going to be for a wider range of people than Microsoft Flight Simulator is. I just think the nature of the type of game Microsoft Flight Simulator is means that, like, that is for a more hardcore audience, especially like folks who like flight simulators.
You want to be really hardcore and hook up the flight stick and the throttle and the pedals, you can. It'll support that. Flight Sim is always catered to the high end, simulator, freaks. But it's all. But there's also a version that where you can dial it down and make it very accessible. I think one point I would like to raise about Microsoft Flight Simulator and why I think it could be a really big deal, is it might be another one of these cases of like the right game at the right time. Animal Crossing was the right game at the right time, right? In these pandemic times, everybody wanted an escape, a distraction. They wanted to go to a tranquil, bucolic place, where nothing bad can ever really happen to you and you can hang out with your adorable neighbors. Animal Crossing like really struck a nerve because it was what we all needed during these sucky times. I think Fall Guys would have been a hit whenever it was released, but I think particularly now, when again, everyone's so fucking miserable and the world is on fire, Fall Guys is a game that is just fun for fun's sake. And I go and I watch these streams and I watch people playing Fall Guys, and I'm like, when was the last time I saw this many people having this much fun, just kind of laughing their heads off, or like rage quitting, like whether it makes you angry or happy or sad or whatever, like Fall Guys just really makes you feel a lot of stuff. And it's like mostly just fun and it's silly and it's joyful. And again, that's what we need right now. And I wonder if Flight Simulator could in a weird way be that as well, because it's a, you know, there's no combat, there's challenge, but it's like, you know, you can just get, you can do something you can't do in the world right now, which is fucking get on a plane and fly somewhere else, right? As Americans, we can't do that. We're fucking trapped here because we're a plague nation. But, you know, in the virtual world, in a very realistically simulated, high fidelity virtual world, you can actually get on a plane right now and fly anywhere in the world and see the world in a way that we Americans in the real world cannot do right now. And you can do it at your own pace. No one's going to shoot you out of the sky. Zombies aren't going to attack you. You're not going to get hijacked. You can just chill out and play. And I think for that reason, it might also strike the right chord at the right time.
Now it's time to squad up. Jeff Collins writes in with a squad up on PS4 and says, I'm looking for some best friends to play the new season of Apex Legends. I want to get back into Apex with a full squad since my local friends have crazy schedules to where it makes it hard to play with them. So I look to the Kind of Funny best friends for help and maybe to get that elusive W in Apex Legends. If you want to play with Jeff Collins on PS4, you can add them with the username Masaru702. That is M-A-S-A-R-U. 702 on PSN. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong, where you write in and let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong. Whit wrote in and mentioned that Manifold Garden and Spiritfarer came out on PS4. And that's, of course, that's more of a you're wrong for yesterday, because those games weren't listed on the out today list for PS4. So there you go. And I've been playing Manifold Garden on PS4, let me tell you. And that is an awesome game. Nada Ball just says Infallible, which I believe is the Fall Guys trophy where you have to get 5 wins in a row, is sitting at 0.1% completed on PSN and 2.01% on PSN profiles. And I think PSN profiles is tracking people who specifically have PSN profiles accounts. And so,
honestly, even 0.1% is impressive. 5 in a row, when you consider how much luck plays a part in that game. Again, like you said, with such a big player base, so many people are playing it right now, statistically. Yeah, so yeah, if you flip a coin a million times, sometimes it's going to come up 50 times heads in a row. Just statistically, eventually it's going to happen. It's super duper unlikely, but it is happening, and it's kind of miraculous. I love it.
Dude, I mean, I almost watched it happen a couple days ago with Youssef, and legit, I could not believe it. And so shout out to those people who are able to make it that far. Nano also
By the way, Blessing, says, are you playing Fall Guys? What's your Fall Guys experience been like? Are you enjoying the game?
I'm loving it. I've gotten one crown. I'm terrible at it, is the thing. And I don't understand how I'm so terrible at this game. Like, I am pretty similar to Tim the Tap Man, where I've gotten close quite a few times.
Except you have a crown.
I for some reason I cannot secure the dub. I do have a crown though. Like, I got the crown early, which I'm very happy about. But since then I've not been able to get another one. And I've seen all my friends win right in front of me. And so
yeah, come on, get to these 20 wins, Bless. Come on.
Nano says, one item not noted during the Xbox dashboard thing. Screenshots and videos are automatically sent to your phone so you can upload them to social media that way. Instead of using a controller to type. That was kind of already a feature. Like, I remember kind of using that on Xbox currently, but like if you have the Xbox app on your phone, you can basically go to your Xbox if you're taking a screenshot or a video and then like upload it to the cloud essentially, and then you can download it from Xbox on your phone and then tweet it that way. Right. So it's not as much of a new thing. Nano says, Bless, you said the dashboard is 50% faster, but Xbox is touting 30% faster. They had a couple of percentages in there. I probably got them mixed up, but yeah, 30% faster for the dashboard.
While you're looking for any more live show people, screencast will be a little late because I'm also running the Games Daily post show today.
There you go. And then Nano says, not sure what you mean by games being... No. Nano, now we're getting into editorialization territory, but I'm going to read it just so I can roast you. Not sure what you mean by games now being front and center. When you boot up the Xbox and go to the dashboard, games are front and center with the past 4 games you played and the game you have in the disk drive. I know this, Nanobiologist, but you still have to go to My Games and Apps, which is like a smaller thing that's up in the corner if you want to actually check out your library of games. I like the way that PlayStation and Switch have it to where front and center, boom, all your games. Scroll to the right, I can see all my games. Like, I feel like that's way more easy and intuitive for a game platform, but that is my opinion. And then I asked for clarification on Persona 3 Portable. Matt DeWab says Persona 3 Portable has more of a light novel presentation, but it has an alternate story route with the female main character, and it includes controllable party members. So there you go. Port Persona 3 to some modern platform. It doesn't even have to be the Switch. I would love it to be the Switch, but mainly any modern platform I will take. Please, Atlas. So I'm like delaying time because I'm trying to figure out how to delete the rest of you're wrong. All right. So tomorrow's hosts for the show are me and Greg. And for Friday, it's Greg and me. So look forward to the rest of the week. And of course, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.